Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Russ Tanner here in the studio with us as well. Former center for the Dogs, 2002-2005. Mortgage banker of Prime Lending. You can find Russ online at athenslender.com. So we were looking back, Russ, in the 6 o'clock hour of players that have been dogged by the Bulldogs. And somehow we were Antonio Brown's name came up. And we were like, where did he go to college? And do you know where he went?
It was a smaller one.
Central Michigan.
Central Michigan, yeah.
So he was here in Athens in 08. You remember that was the game that Noshon leaped the defender.
Yeah, what was the quarterback's name?
Dan Lefevre.
Yeah, they had the Lefevre.
La Fevoie.
And I was telling Sam this earlier, too. I was saying it was funny that week because everybody kept talking about Dan Lefevre this, and Dan Lefevre that. And we kept saying, he's the second best quarterback in that stadium because Stafford was, you know, Georgia's quarterback at the time. But I didn't even realize Antonio Brown was on that Michigan team. And he had had kind of a little sketchy background, and then he wasn't a qualifier, and he'd gone to, was it like a – I don't know if it was a prep school.
North Carolina Tech Prep.
But anyway, he's from Miami. Well, he was recruited heavily to West Virginia by a guy named Butch Jones.
There you go.
And Butch Jones was the head coach at Central Michigan when they came to Athens in 08.
Well, I'm glad they didn't bring him to Tennessee. And as far as I'm concerned, Antonio Brown can fly a kite because he was on the team I played against in fantasy football last night.
Oh, my God.
Me too.
Sam so, also.
Yeah, I thought you had
not
30,
a good start for
like
you guys.
33 points in our league.
Yeah. Three TDs and 144 receiving yards. Are you in a PPR league?
No.
Okay. Because how many passes did he catch? Like 8 or 9? Was
seven.
He double digits?
I think it was seven.
Okay, it wasn't double digits, but still brutal. But then again, that is why in most fantasy football leagues, he was what, the first or second receiver off the board?
I'm done with fantasy football. I'm terrible at it. I'm 2-8 on the year. My team stinks. Everybody's gotten hurt. I'm going to get ill.
Are you done the season or for good?
No, I'm going to be done for life.
Really?
It's funny because I won my league 3 years in a row, but the last time I won it was like 3 years ago, and I've been god-awful ever since.
Well, I'm to the point in my life where I've decided with stuff like this, I'm just going to be a front runner. If I'm good at it and I'm doing it and I'm winning, I'll play. If not, man, forget that.
Life's too short,
man. Life's too short has something that causes me heartburn.
I keep playing golf?
Exactly. I'll admit this. This year, I don't have a very good team, and I had Odell Beckham, and he's gotten hurt, and I've had a couple other guys get hurt. But it was like, on Sundays now, I don't even follow because I used to sit there and look at my phone all day long and stress out. And I was like, probably not going to win, so I'm not even going to worry about it. I'll find out.
Well, we all know the NFL is on the downhill slide. they're in decline.
Yeah.
So, man, fantasy football, forget that.
I was going to say, just ask Papa John about the NFL's decline, right?
And the Jerry Jones thing is getting crazy, too. But let's talk a little Georgia football. And, Russ, you weren't in here with us last week.
I was.
The Dogs lost. Now, I can't blame that because there was one other week.
Yeah, I missed a game, too.
Was it Florida? No, it wasn't Florida. Or was it the bye week? Actually, you were gone during the bye
week.
So it was the bye week.
But we didn't lose that
game?
I feel like I did.
Do we know? Can we?
I feel like I did. However, I do take full responsibility. I do take full responsibility because, as I told you earlier, I've got a pair of shoes on. I'm not going to give it away because I think Sam's going to have a social media
post. Oh, it's already up on Twitter and Instagram, so okay, you're good to give it away.
Well, I had a pair of shoes on I've worn every Friday for the entire year. I did not wear them last Friday.
Oh.
So it's my fault. Like, I apologize.
I appreciate you manning up.
I mean, from the bottom of my heart, Dog Nation, it has nothing to do with dropping punts and penalties and bad blocking and getting pushed
and
all around up front.
Yeah, nothing to do with that.
No, I did not wear the proper shoes. And for that, I man up. I take responsibility. I've got them on today. And hopefully, we will see if the mojo is correct. So it was funny when I saw folks like on Sunday at church and stuff. I said that to some buddies. Like, oh man, it's my fault too.
I know, it's everybody's fault. I didn't wear the right shirt.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So. I didn't drink the right beverage. You know, I switched out. It's my fault. That cracks me up.
Well, you know, everybody's got their traditions and things like that, and their superstitions.
Yeah.
I'm not superstitious. I'm a little stitious.
You're a little stitious. Yeah. Thank you, Michael Scott.
Yeah, there you go. I'm glad you caught that. Yeah.
I like that.
So, you know what, man? That's just one of those things. Like, there's times as a player and a coach to where you watch the film of a game like Auburn because you have to, but you just don't spend time on it. I mean, you don't dwell on it. You know, kind of the coaches – one of the coaches' roles is to never let a team get too high or too low.
Sure.
And when teams are rolling, like Georgia's been rolling, well, guess what Kirby's been doing? He's been busting their bottoms.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, trying to make sure that they stay grounded. And then when you show up like that last week, I mean, it was just a butt whooping. Just the ball didn't bounce your way. The energy wasn't there. The play calls weren't good. The execution wasn't okay. I mean, nothing went right. Like, literally, nothing went right.
So they played great.
And Auburn played great.
Yeah. We tend to forget that, too, about the other
team. If Auburn plays like they did last week, they could beat anybody in the country.
There was nobody last week that was going to beat them.
Not in that stadium, not in that environment, the way they were playing.
I don't think anybody
And Georgia came out flat. You know, we can go back to some of our earlier broadcasts. I feel like I've been tooting this horn for a few weeks now about it is so hard to go undefeated. You know, we're sitting there looking at the last stretch of games. You've got
– Well, since we've gone to the playoff, tell me all the undefeated teams there have been. Zero.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So who do we have right now undefeated? Bama, Miami, Wisconsin?
Wisconsin and Central Florida, but they ain't going to the playoff. They ain't going. Yeah, so there's three teams that have a chance.
So it's just so hard to go undefeated. Like, it is – you've got 18, 19, 20-year-old guys out there, and you're expecting them to be up, fired up, and ready to roll every single week. How many times has Saban gone undefeated at Bama? Do y'all know
Once.
That answer?
One time.
Once.
During the regular season. Let's go regular season. How many times? Twice.
Twice.
I think he's gone 12-0 twice.
He's gone 12-0 twice, and he's only had one undefeated season. He's just a one-loss coach.
What a bum.
It's almost impossible to do.
Yeah.
And last week was the lay the egg game. Like, nothing went right. You know, you look up, it's what, like 16-7. We stop them. Got a shot. Like, okay. You know, you're early in third quarter. You get a stop here. They're kicking the ball to you. You go score.
No, went to the second quarter on the leaping penalty.
I'm talking about the fumble, the punt.
The punt, yeah. So but it started at the end of the first
but
half.
But even that point.
And the halfway, missed field goal.
Halfway through the third quarter, you've got a shot to where if you make a play, you've stopped them on defense, you go score, you're 16-13 or whatever it is, and you're in the game. The momentum's back on your side. Punt goes up in the air. It hits number four on the number four. Bounces off his chest, and they get it and score. From that point on.
23-yard scoring drive.
Yeah, from that point on, there's just nothing to do. The momentum was gone.
And then the next possession was also a situation where they had a good return on a punt, then there was the penalty at the end of the play, and they only had to go 34 yards.
So it's just out of
character. Two touchdowns for 57 total yards.
I think I would rather lose like that. Where you just play bad. I mean, you can look at every aspect of the game and just say, we stunk.
Yeah.
All across the board. Then if you came out and played your absolute best, you balled out, and the other team beat you by 10 points towards the end of the game.
Right.
I mean, you know, I don't know right now if Auburn's better than Georgia or Georgia's better than Auburn. I don't know that. But I know Auburn ain't 20 or 30 points better than Georgia.
No, they're not. And over the last decade. Georgia's that's the weird thing, too, about this week is like, what do we got to do to get back to Auburn, you know, get to Alabama's level, Auburn's level? I was like, well, first of all, Auburn might have whipped Georgia on Saturday, but the Dogs have had their number.
Yeah, they've won. I mean, we've beat them for the last decade.
Yeah, that's only the third time they've beaten Georgia in the last decade.
But they were really good,
but I just think they hadn't had a home game in over a month. Their fans were jacked. They played great. I mean, it was their version of what we did to them in 07, and they played that Soldier Boy just like Georgia did in 07.
Yeah, that was terrible. I told Dave, I was like, I think that there are people around me in the press box right now that can see steam, like, flying out of my ears. Like, I was probably, like, visibly angry.
They played Soldier Boy in the stadium?
They did. It was, like, it was 40-something to whatever at that point.
Dirty.
And it's a good long play. I mean, I give him credit for it. But at the same time, it's just – it was so maddening. But I wanted to ask you about the offensive line play in particular in this game, because Georgia has just dominated teams running the football all season long.
Right.
And you said it there. Auburn, and this game was better than Georgia. We still don't know overall. I mean, because if they played on a neutral field or if they played in Athens, it could have been a lot different. It would have been, absolutely.
You knew that going in.
You knew it was going to be tougher to run the ball, but you didn't think it'd be that much tougher to run the football.
Their front seven's good. Really good.
And, I mean, it's like the old coach saying would go, like, boys, we didn't drip a drop today. I mean, kind of trying to run the ball like nothing happened.
Right.
When you look up, I mean, what we rush for? 46 yards or something like that?
I mean, you take the sacks out, it was like 70 yards, on plays that they were trying to rush the football, but you take out the sacks and it comes down to like 40. But 70 is not
70 still terrible.
Yeah.
It's a thing to where it was just a perfect storm. I don't know, was there some of Georgia's offensive line getting exposed? Maybe. I mean, this is something we came into the year, and I think we could all sit here right now and say that this offensive line unit has overperformed for the year. They've exceeded expectations pretty much across the board. I don't know that they got exposed. I think Auburn is super talented. They're really good up front on defense. They had a better scheme. They were fired up, and they stuck it to us. It's kind of like if two dogs came in a fight, well, guess what? They hadn't eaten in a month, and we just got done gorging ourselves on something.
Yeah.
I mean, they were fired
Michael
up.
Vick was their coach.
They were fired up and rolling, and we were kind of fat and happy, it looked like.
Yeah.
And they just took it to us.
Yeah.
And that happens sometimes. Unfortunately, that happens. So, I think for Georgia, probably the most disheartening thing of the whole game, though, was how bad Auburn beat us up front. I mean, that's – as a coach, that's the thing you look back on. Like mistakes, okay. McColl, don't fumble the ball. Hey, Sony, don't get a penalty on a punt.
Yeah.
Hey, don't do this. Get out of bounds where you're supposed to. Do what's there.
But leaping penalty was crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
people were complaining about that, but it's like that's the rule. That's the rule.
You've got to know that. You have to, but they do know it. But I mean, you've got in that situation to realize that trying to block the punt, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze, man. And you might have been able to block the punt, but it wouldn't have mattered. Well, even if you did block the punt on that play,
but all those
the fact
things,
that you went over the top would have negated
it. All those things are easily correctable mistakes. Those are mental errors.
But it's just crazy that Georgia hadn't done that all season long, and then in one game it just rears its ugly head multiple times.
And that's why you say this game's an aberration. It's the outlier. I mean, this is where we got whooped. It just happens sometimes. You lay an egg. Tell me any cliche you want to say, it happened. Georgia played terrible, Auburn played great, and the scoreboard reflected it at the end of the game.
Got to give Auburn.
Period.
You know what you got to do, Sam? You got to give Auburn a lot of credit.
Fellas, they are giving you a lot of credit.
So anyway. Sam,
it happens. But the only part, the most disheartening part was they whooped us on the line. Is that going to happen again if we play Auburn in 2 or 3 weeks in the dome? Or the dome. What is it? The bins. I don't know. I hope not. It'll be a much better game, but.
In fact, the dome won't even be there.
Dome's going to be gone Monday morning, 7:30. That thing is coming to the ground.
I think the ref should go live.
Well, they're live streaming it, so, I'll have it up, on the computer here. I might even, because I'll have it. I think our sister station on TV, WSB, is airing it live.
What time is it?
7:30.
7:30.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that'll be a good today. A little traffic jam around Atlanta that morning?
Maybe a little bit. If I had thought about this out a long enough time ahead, and obviously, in football season, we don't like taking time off when we don't have to. But that would have the sundial over there in Atlanta is like doing like a thing where you can go there and like you pay a certain amount of money and you get up and you can watch it from there
at the Westin.
Yeah,
yeah.
But then would you have to walk like in a backwards treadmill the whole time?
Well, last time
one spot to watch it.
Last time I went there,
a group of 30 people walking together.
Last time I went there, they had shut off the motor,
okay,
so it wasn't like rotating. So maybe they'll do that again.
It'd be better if they left it rotating and turned the speed up.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's funny because that, not to toot my family's horn or anything, but my grandfather was lead engineer on that building.
Hey.
So, that's one that I had always asked him about. I'd be like, because we'd go there a lot when I was a kid. And it's like, hey, can we turn this thing faster? Turn it into like a ride? Like, I remember when they first explained the concept to me, I was like, oh, so it's like a ride? It's like,
No, it don't work like that. So, but, back to finish up that Auburn conversation. You just burn the tape. Like, you watch it, you don't spend time on it, and you move on.
Well, as a former player, you don't have any choice.
No.
And the thing, too, here, and this is what at least lessens the loss a little bit for me is that nothing has changed
nothing
as far as Georgia's goals.
No.
They still, if they win out, they can still get in that playoff.
They will be in the playoff.
Yeah.
So you look at it right now, Georgia is, what, seventh in the playoff rankings?
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
So, and obviously we know that people can jump up and down depending on the week. But for the most part, your top ten, at this point, nobody's going to enter the top ten and have a chance to win that wasn't there before. So Georgia's seven, you got to jump three spots. Well, let's just do the easy, logical conversation here. Miami and Clemson, they got to play.
One of those teams is going to lose.
Georgia will jump whichever team loses there. If assuming Georgia wins out and beats Bama or Auburn.
Yeah, Auburn and Alabama. One of those teams has to lose.
And then we play the other one.
Yeah.
So that's your three teams right there.
Exactly.
I mean, if Georgia wins out, they will be in the college football playoff.
Yep.
Period.
Yeah. They'll be 12-1 with a win to end the season over either Bama or Auburn if Georgia wins out. Now,
and they'll be the SEC champs.
They're the SEC champs. They're not leaving the SEC. Well, they're not leaving a one-loss SEC champion
out. No, they're not leaving
a one-loss
SEC champ out. No, absolutely not.
Especially if they've just beaten an undefeated Alabama.
With Auburn looking good.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and then you look at the other ones. I mean, Clemson's up there. Clemson's loss was to Syracuse.
Yep.
Boys, that's a bad loss. I mean, that's a bad loss. And then Miami, hey, I'm proud of Coach Rick. Coach Rick recruited me to Georgia. He means a lot to me personally. I love the man. But I ain't convinced Miami is going to be a national title contender. I don't think their quarterback is there.
Well, and and I've said this all week, and I'll say it again. It's like, if Coach Richt were still here, Georgia wouldn't be in the position they're in right now, and Miami wouldn't be in the position
they're in right now.
So it's been good for both.
For both, yeah.
Yes, yes. So let's just
dial it back.
One other point of thing on this. All these Georgia fans now say, go Canes. Man, I ain't saying go Canes. I say go Coach Rick. I pull for Coach Rick. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
Thomas Brown and whoever else.
I want Coach Rick
really
well, and
there,
I would love for him to be in the playoff. And if Georgia doesn't win, I hope Miami wins it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, don't get me wrong, though. Like, Tuesday morning after the national title game, if Miami's a team that's won it, you better believe I'm going through my dirty clothes hamper and finding my old Andre Johnson.
You
Miami
wearing that?
To pop that thing back on me.
So, I ain't saying go Canes, but I'm absolutely pulling for Coach Rick and that crew. But it's been great. It's been a great move for both programs. I mean, it's been the perfect win-win.
Yeah.
You know, so, hey, if for somehow it all shakes down to where, because the national championship game is in Atlanta, correct?
That is correct.
Absolutely.
Yes.
What would the ticket price be if Georgia played Miami for the Natty?
Well, I can tell you this. It wouldn't be a bunch of Miami fans that place would be 90% Georgia fans.
Or corporate Georgia fans.
Well, I mean, whatever the most you can get in there. But if Georgia were in that game in Atlanta, that play, especially if it were against Miami that doesn't – I mean, I heard Brame say yesterday – you know, Brame went to Miami for a couple of years and transferred to Georgia. And I heard him say yesterday that 0-2 championship game between Miami and Ohio State may as well have just been an Ohio State home game. So –
where was that?
Was that in the Fiesta?
Yes,
oh, it was a Fiesta,
He said that was an Ohio State home game.
Miami fans just don't travel all that much.
Yeah,
they don't have any fans.
Exactly.
Their alumni base isn't as
small.
Big.
It's a small private school in South Florida. But, you know? But anyway, so
Georgia,
that would be
Georgia.
A good thing.
We're back at Georgia.
Yeah.
But that'd be awesome. I'd love to play them.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're right. Back to what you said. Like, Georgia has all the, you know, there's nothing off the table for the Dogs. We're in the SEC championship game. We're going to play Auburn and Alabama. I hope we play Auburn again. As opposed to Bama, I think
you can hope that.
Huh?
I said you can hope that.
You don't think it's going to happen?
Well, no, I'm just saying that.
Or you'd rather have Bama?
I'd probably at this point, just based on what I've seen, I've been telling people this. I think I'd rather have Bama. As crazy as that sounds, I mean, Alabama's more of a wounded animal right now. You know, they've got those two linebackers out for the year. Hand has been hurt. You know, Micah Fitzpatrick's been a little banged up. And you look at what Georgia did to Mississippi State versus what Alabama did against Mississippi State, just in terms of like opponents. I know that one was at home and one was on the road, but still. Yeah.
I just thought it was funny during the game Saturday. Tom Luganbill was the sideline reporter, and Bama had somebody come out who was shaken up. I don't think they were lost for the game. And then at one point he said, because, you know, they've had all these injuries and everything. Mm-hmm. He's like, by the way, the 11 guys on the field right now for Bama, this was with all these other – with these players. Eight of those guys were still high school All-Americans.
Yeah.
Even after
the first guys were hurt.
But, I mean, if Mississippi State can run the football on Alabama, and they did pretty well in that category against Alabama, Georgia should be able to run the ball.
Well, let me say this, because I want to – let me ask this.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So, Georgia's in a hostile environment. Bama was in a hostile environment.
Right.
You've played in plenty of hostile environments.
Yeah.
People seem to not want to say that that's a big deal.
It is.
But Georgia was on the road and got steamrolled. Bama was on the road and Mississippi State. I mean, and by the way, Bama, every time they hit the field, it's that other team's Super Bowl. They have to deal with that every single week.
Yeah.
And that's hard to, I mean, that's what makes their run so impressive. But how much, I mean, how big of a deal is it when you're on the road, hostile environment? And back when you played, Georgia was good on the road.
We're very good on the road.
Yeah.
If you can quiet the other team's crowd down early and keep the momentum on your side, it's good.
Right.
And it's quiet and you can operate and do all that. But if it's a big game where the crowd is rocking, you know, the media's looking at you, there's a lot of chatter going on nationally about where it's at.
Yeah.
You got a chip on your shoulder and your fans smell blood in the water, it is hard to play in the SEC.
Yeah.
And if something goes right for the other team and that crowd gets loud, it makes a big difference. Then as a player, if your team, if your fans are, as the kids say, crunk, like you don't get tired. You don't. You feed off of that. That energy comes down. It's like, you know, they're giving us the force or something, just shooting it down there, and it just jacks you up.
Yeah.
But so between that and then just the noise that happens there, it's hard to go on the road and win when another team is jacked up, fired up, and their team and their fans are in it. It makes a huge difference.
Those 3:30s, those 7 o'clocks, playing on the road. You know, that's always like the home team playing earlier.
Yeah,
if you can keep the fans at bay.
We played in LSU Death Valley in 2003.
Yep,
that place was nuts.
Yeah,
you know they beat us 16-13. It was
that
great
was the
game.
Tyson Browning.
The Tyson
game.
Browning. Yeah.
Yeah.
My biggest career highlight was on that play. I mean, not to brag, no big deal. But, I mean, I did have you know, 2 pancake blocks,
ooh,
Tyson screen pass,
ooh.
Two on one play.
Ooh,
I'm gonna go back and look at that.
Yeah, I saw it. Me and Tyson were talking about it because we're linked with that. That's my boy. We're tied together with our highlight.
So how did what did you do?
It was a screen. I went out there and I got one guy. Then I think I was running towards another one. And I went to hit him, and I tripped. And when I tripped, I hit him in the thigh on the way down. But he hit the ground. And then I saw, on CBS a couple years ago, we played them. And they gave Josh Brock the credit. I was like, are you freaking
That's when you need to write a sternly worded letter.
Did Coach Callaway give you 2 pancakes on that one?
Callaway?
Yeah.
Well, Tanner, you didn't that up too bad. Thanks, Coach.
I'm
surprised he didn't yell at you for falling down. He's like, you got lucky.
Yeah.
That was it.
By the way, Russ, a little bit of the pressure is off of you causing the loss.
Somebody else screw it up.
Jeremy says he has a Red Power G flag that he puts out every week around Thursday and Friday. For some reason, he didn't do it last week.
Oh.
So he gets some of the blame, too.
Wah, 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 Jeremy.
Yes. So, anyway. And Rob says, hey, Russ, missed last week's show. We lost to Auburn. We need you to show up 2 more weeks. Love the show, guys. Thank you very much, Rob.
Just 2 more weeks? I was going to say
next Friday we won't be in here. So
that's right.
We don't have next Friday.
I'm sure, but I don't show up is what you're telling me.
Do you want to come in on Wednesday? Russ is like, well, I don't know.
Wednesday? I could probably do Wednesday.
All right. I like the
That'll
the
keep the
addendum
mojo
there,
going.
Yeah.
That's up to you now. That's –
No
I don't
pressure.
Want to put you on the spot. Like, well, let's ask Russ on the air if he could come in on Wednesday.
Well, I mean, I don't know. You guys,
Dave's
may have,
giving him
you
the puppy dog eyes.
I don't
right
know
now.
What your situation is here with your better halves.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Sam is still on the path of trying to have a better half.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
Yes.
You know, my wife. Here's the deal. In the mornings, like, I wake up pretty happy.
Yep.
I wake up ready to roll.
Mm-hmm.
I love seeing the sun coming up. I look forward to breakfast. I like coffee.
So you're a morning person.
I like to get up in the morning.
Okay.
Sometimes I sing.
Ooh.
My wife.
Well, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are not allowed to speak to her before 9 a.m. So, you know.
I'm not allowed to talk to my wife until she's had her first cup of coffee.
That's it, too.
Yeah.
So for the record, if at any point in time, like, hey, babe, you want me to stick around in the morning? Or, I mean, hey, what do you think? You want to hang out? You want to do something together? She's like, leave now. So, yeah, I probably. I mean,
Wednesday.
I may have to move some things around, but I'll probably
be free. If you can, that's awesome. If you can't,
All right.
I'm just glad understand. That Wednesday's our last day in because, you know, I'm as soon as we are, like, sign off, I'm going home. I'm getting ready for Thanksgiving. I'm taking nothing but sweatpants other than one pair of slacks that I'll wear for the Georgia Tech game over in Atlanta. But
sweatpants are good for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the elastic waist is key. You've got to have that.
Well, we had our work Thanksgiving here yesterday. I've got some leftover turkey here I'm chomping down on.
That's not but, bad.
Did you get it out of the fridge?
Yes, I
did. Yeah.
I'll come back. When we come back from the break, I'm going to make a definitive statement about Thanksgiving food to you guys.
Yes.
Hey.
A big boy's favorite holiday.
I was going to say, that's a good tease right there.
This is a definitive statement that is 1,000% true.
Can't wait to hear
it. It's controversial.
Does it have to do with pumpkin pie?
No.
Okay. All right, yeah, food and football.
All right, 8:35, welcome back. It is the morning show. It is presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. Sam Franco, David Johnston, Russ Tanner along with you. During the break, Dave, I didn't want you to think I forgot about your birthday.
That was very nice of you, Sam. Thank you very much.
When's your birthday?
It was Wednesday. Thank you.
And I wasn't in here on Wednesday. I would have done this on Wednesday, but
and I are both November birthdays.
No, man, I'm October.
Oh, you were October. Okay, I'm sorry, Sam. What were you saying?
I just sent Dave the Book of Leon, Philosophy of a Fool, the audiobook as narrated by J.B. Smoove.
The next time I get a chance to do some lamping, I'll be checking the book out.
Absolutely.
I can't wait. Thank you very much.
I'm going to let me know how that is because I definitely want to get it for myself, although I can't decide. I like reading books like this, but I also want to hear him read it.
I can't wait. That's going to be awesome. Thank you, Sam.
Of course.
Sam wasn't in here on my birthday. Right. We were doing the crossover that day.
Yeah, we swapped, yeah.
Yeah. So I was in here with Jeff.
That's right.
So you did me right, too, because he gave me some Diet Dr. Peppers.
Oh, yeah.
You're a simple man.
I am, man. I am.
J.B. Smoove's audiobook and some Diet Dr. Pepper.
I'm telling you what, man. Strap Dog turned 50. He got some Natty Lights and a carton of smokes.
That's right.
Like, what else do you need?
You like what you like.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
So I heard you say it during the break. You going to give my old Remy a little love on the air?
Well, we were talking about Pollock, and I said it's funny how he's become one of the voices of reason, or maybe the voice of reason, up in Bristol. Although I don't know how often he actually goes to Bristol, but, you know, he's on the road on the weekend. Yeah. So, you know what I mean. And I guess it's not as big a deal now since the Dogs lost, but when Georgia was undefeated and he got into it with Herb Street a couple of weeks ago. And basically I thought it was funny that David was saying, by the way, Georgia's undefeated and they beat Notre Dame in South Bend. And Herb Street's like, well, a loss is one factor. You're like,
shut it, Herbie. Shut it, Herbie.
Exactly.
If there's a head to head component, that should be the only factor.
Exactly.
Like if the records are comparable, yeah, that should be the only factor.
It is kind of hard, but I will say this. It is kind of hard sometimes to rationalize, like, if you and I are 1-2 and I beat you, but then you have a loss. Or I have a loss to a lesser team, and you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that is kind of hard to, like, kind of how do you put that in perspective?
I'm kind of in a bizarre world right now because totally off of that, Pollock just texted me.
Oh, really?
So we got much more important things.
Is he listening to us, or
no,
he just happened to text?
I don't think so. He said he'll call in and squash me if we want him to. However, he and I are coaching together.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Is this a strategy session here? Y'all doing some coaching talk, coaching speak?
I thought you said your season was over.
Coach, listen.
Yeah.
This is 7 and 8-year-olds girls basketball.
Oh, hoops.
What's the phone number up here?
All right, here. It's 706-549-6000. You going to get him to call us?
I don't know.
fair enough.
We'll see. No, our girls are playing little girl basketball together. Sorry, I didn't mean to text. It's terrible.
Yeah,
right,
no worries.
That's okay.
We're doing seven, 8-year-olds girls basketball, and he's the head coach. And I'm the assistant. So I don't know how our team's going to be as far as the X's and O's of basketball, but I can tell you this: we're going to be physical.
Indeed, you are. Indeed, you are. If he does call, you can plug those in right there.
I don't know if he's calling.
We do have a call. All right. All right, that is fine.
Wait, let me get plugged in.
All right, I'll say you just plug in here.
So, we might can get some football talk out of him. However,
well, if we got to talk girls, if we got to talk girls hoops with him, then we can. Sam, what do you got over there?
Yeah, we got David Pollock calling into us.
Hey, David, thank you for calling. Russ said that you told him you were going to squash him if we had you on the air. So go for it, man.
Man, good old Russ Tanner, man. I've been banging around with Russ Tanner for a number of years. The stories are endless about me and Russ. And Russ, I tell you what, Russ was my roommate for a long time, and he had a snoring problem and still does, by the way. I mean, I'm talking about, like, yeah, Shelly's got to leave the room. Kind of snoring problem.
Go ahead.
I had a bucket full of pennies next to my bed when I was in college, and I would literally just grab them and zing them at him. And I had, after I stoned him with one, I'd have about 30 seconds to fall asleep. So I would literally just peg him, and he'd wake up in the morning, and he'd have pennies all over his bed and stuck to his face.
That's
so
a valid argument. That's true.
Me and Russell Thurston go a long way back.
And now, I knew Davey when he was Fat Davey. And it was so good because in our refrigerator in the room, his mom would make cheese and bacon croissants.
Ooh. Oh my god!
And leave them in there. Oh. So you know, we'd have that.
Oh my god!
So we go way back.
Well, you talk about not being an adult. My mom used to come up and clean our apartment once a week and stock it with groceries. Talk about teaching your kids to like really learn how to take care of themselves. Yep. That was Mom P.
Yeah, so that's called best mom ever.
Our freshman year, we lost the remote to our TV.
Yeah.
So we were poor and we were cheap. So instead of buying a new TV remote, Pollock, do you remember what we had to change the channel
bamboo
with?
Bamboo stick, baby.
We had a bamboo stick.
Yes, sir.
So you could sit on the couch and push the buttons on the TV to change the channel.
Well, how did you guys know you liked each other? Because being an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman, you probably hated each other.
Go ahead, Pete. You can start, then I'll finish it up.
Well, first of all, no, that's not. It's not the offensive defensive lineman. It's the fact that it was me.
That's valid.
I mean, that's more than anything. I definitely thought I had the world figured out when I was, you know, 16, 17 years old.
Yeah.
When I was eight, I told my mom and dad I was playing in the NFL and. You know, I was going to go play for the Giants because we were from up north. That's where my dad was from, and that was his favorite team. That's who we used to watch. So, you know, most people, I wasn't for most people's style. I was very tunnel vision, very competitive, very singularly focused. So the fact that Russ, you know, hung out with me was more of a – now, listen, he loved video games.
That's true.
Video games, we were dynamite. We were nasty at video games. I mean, Halo, somebody step up and want to challenge us now. We'll come beat that tiny right now. But
we started off at camp together our junior year. So we're at camp at Georgia, 300 kids there, and you can pick out seven or eight guys that are just different. And so me and Pollock are crossing each other. He's with defense, I'm with offense, and we're stretching. And, like, he's trying to stretch better than I'm stretching. He's trying to move faster than I'm fast. I was like, who is this prick? And next thing I know, the dude's in my wedding, like 15
Isn't
years
that
later.
Crazy?
Tell him about the football game. Tell him how we did the competition.
So there was a we played a game at this. It was a lineman camp, and there's a football game. We call it Razzle Dazzle, mm-hmm. which is basically you throw the ball anywhere. You can lateral it, throw it forward, do whatever you want to do, and keep going. So me and him were on separate teams, but we wanted to play together. So we paid a kid $1 to switch, and it got us on the same team together. And our entire team was this. I was the quarterback, and Pollock was the receiver. I could outrun all the other fat linemen, and Pollock could jump higher than they could. So he'd run to the end zone, and I would throw it up. Then on defense, he played left side of the field. I played right side of the field. And our closest game was 49-7. We were dominant.
That's pretty sweet.
I didn't score anything.
That's pretty sweet. Well, David, we were talking during the break, and I just said that I said to Russ, it's like, by the way, I want to thank Pollock a little bit for being the voice of reason up over at ESPN. Just in the fact, I know you and Kirk had a little. I don't want to say whatever it was, a little Twitter dust up or whatever. But when people, and now it's not as big a deal now because the Dogs do have a loss. But when Georgia was undefeated, I remember him. You were saying to him, it's like, by the way, Georgia beat Notre Dame head to head, and I remember Herb Street saying, yeah, that is one component. And it was like, what? So I do appreciate, and I think the Georgia fans do appreciate that voice of reason as far as, you know, when you're trying to figure out who the best team is or the second best team. I know it's not easy to do, but we do appreciate it.
But that to me, though, that one's common sense.
Yes, exactly.
That was the same argument for Oklahoma and Ohio State. I think the groundwork was talked about there as well. Listen, dude, last year with Penn State and Ohio State, it was a different scenario. Penn State had two losses. The resumes weren't comparable. Yes, they beat Ohio State, but that's like saying Pittsburgh should have been in the playoff because they beat Clemson.
Right.
I mean, it's just not – you have to compare resumes. So under that scenario, just that's why Oklahoma's That's why Ohio State now is in a ton of trouble, because I think there's seven teams that control their own destiny. The top seven are in the chance to make the college football playoff. Everybody else, to me,
needs
is
help.
Out of the equation, including Ohio State, because even if Oklahoma loses again, Oklahoma still trumped Ohio State, and I'd still put them into the college football playoff over Ohio State.
So the number eight team is Notre Dame, and they're essentially cooked because of the two losses.
Well, they need help.
Yeah.
Well, think about it. Think about a scenario in which Notre Dame would be able to get in. Georgia would have to, again, lose to me three games.
Right.
So that means Georgia's going to have to stumble to Georgia Tech or Kentucky or the SEC championship game. So I don't see that happening. So there's a lot of, ifs, ands, and buts. I just think that the top seven are teams that still very much are in this, and they don't need, apocalypse-type style stuff at the end of the season like back in 2007 when everything went absolutely bonkers.
Hey, before we let you go, this is for both of you guys. Sam, did you have anything, Sam?
I mean, the only thing that I was really going to throw in there with the Final Four is, I know that there's a current contract right now with the four, but with a season like this shaking out, where there's probably going to end up being a lot of teams that end up very upset about not making it into that four, are we destined for eight eventually, David, or do you think that's something that, is kind of a 50-50 proposition?
I think we'll get there at some point because money talks. But I'm a huge fan of the four. I like four because look at the rest of the way, guys. If you want an 18 playoff, you got it. I mean, you're going to see it in the SEC championship game. You're going to see it in the Big 12 championship. You're going to see it in the ACC championship game with Miami and Clemson. I mean, we got that. And look at the injuries that are starting to mount. I mean, the regular season would have to be tweaked even more, I think. And listen, one would say maybe you take out some of these cupcake cakes this week, and I wouldn't necessarily, disagree with that. But, I'm happy that we have the system we have. It's better than the old one. But there is eight that will come at some point just because I think it'll expand it. It'll make more money. But there's no complaining about having four because, remember, the genesis of this happening is we got LSU and Alabama versus each other. And that pissed everybody off. So I think the best-case scenario to fast forward to an 18 playoff would have been two SEC teams getting in and Notre Dame getting in, because now three of the top five, Power Five conferences are left out. Now everybody's pissed off, just like they were back in, I think, 2012 when SEC and Alabama played for the national championship, and that might have made it come a little bit quicker.
That boy good uh-huh. Right here.
Yeah.
All right, last question, then we're kicking
you
off.
Mine was going to be a non-football question for the both of you guys.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. You go ahead, then I'll take it out.
No, it's like, well, you were saying how good of basketball coaches you guys were going to be. I want to know what your go-to play is when you got to have for a 7- and 8-year-old victory. What are you doing? What's your play call?
Mm.
Or David, are you coaching that, or is Russ just?
We've only had one practice coach.
Oh, okay.
we got to know our personnel first.
All right. Okay.
We're figuring out what we got. I do know this: at the draft, we were very clear. I was in the draft room, and I had to make it very clear to them, guys, I'm not here to win. I'm here to get my daughter's friends. That's all I want. I don't care about rankings. I don't care about winning. I want my daughter to play basketball next year. That's my only goal. I think everybody looked at me like I was crazy. And at one point in the draft, they were drafting – you have to draft – like they rate the girls, by the way, from dribbling over three cones and shooting. And you have to take – they rate them 1 through 4, 4 being the best. You have to take all the 4s that are there, all the 3s. And I was up and I was like, listen, I don't want a 3. I want a 2. I want that girl because she's one of my wife's friends, or my daughter's friends. So that's kind of the start of how we're going. So we got a long way to
go. We're
going
to have a squad. All right. Here you go, Pete. Thanksgiving's up next week. You're a very healthy dude. I've seen you. You look good. You weigh like 187 pounds now. I know all that. However, Thanksgiving is up, and you can still eat. So, one, tell me, you don't have a long list. I need a quick answer from you. Top Thanksgiving food for you. What do you want? One food. That's all you get.
It doesn't matter about the weight stuff.
Yeah, nothing. Just right. No. What's he going to eat? One food. That's all he gets for Thanksgiving.
Stouffer's mac and cheese was what we always had at my house.
Stouffer's mac and cheese. All right. Well, here's the hot take I was going to tell y'all earlier about. This is kind of controversial, but it's the absolute truth. When it comes to Thanksgiving, I love to eat the mac and cheese. I love green bean casserole. I love dressing
love
and all that.
You love to eat anything.
Yeah.
Listen, listen, Mr. ESPN, you shut it. I'm talking right now. So here's the deal. When it comes to the main course, the meat, ham is far superior to turkey.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
No.
Huh?
That's absolutely false.
No, that's 100% false. Accurate. 100. You've lost all votes when it comes to what food is good.
Man, we had offense versus defense. Now we got turkey versus ham.
No doubt.
Wow.
Well,
why don't y'all weigh in? Y'all weigh in.
Oh, I'm
y'all
turkey. I'm turkey.
Thank you.
I'm turkey.
Y'all are out of your minds.
I don't dislike ham, but ham. I love turkey.
No, no. If you get ham or turkey, you should choose ham 100% of the time. An excellent ham is far better than an excellent turkey.
You're a turkey.
You're a ham.
That's a expert.
Hang up on him.
Hey, David, thanks so much.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, appreciate that. Good stuff.
He's wrong.
But you know what? You're a turkey and he's a ham. I think that sums it all up, right? No, I'm sorry. You're a ham.
I'm a turkey.
We had it backwards.
I like ham, but I'm a turkey, apparently. He's ridiculous. What's he know?
That's awesome.
Ham is far superior to turkey.
Hey, we'll come back and wrap it up. Thanks for getting David on. That was great. All right, it's 8:54. It's the morning show presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. Our man Russ Tanner, former Georgia Center, mortgage banker, Prime Lending, and AthensLender.com. We only got like a couple of minutes. Thanks to David Pollock for checking in with us. That was nice of him to do that. And Russ was how many years did y'all room together in college?
So we were roommates for 2 years, and neighbors. We lived side by side in condos the next 2 years.
Yeah. So yeah, y'all are a long time.
Yeah, we got to be friends in high school. We took a bunch of recruiting trips together. To the point where he, myself, and a guy named Engel Martin, who's a quarterback out of Nashville,
Tennessee,
ended up going to Florida, transferred to Furman. Great guy. We were all buddies together.
Okay.
And he wanted to come to Georgia, but then shock committed, and he was kind of out.
Like, oops.
And So we created, I remember this back in the day when the only one around was the Dog Vent. It was still called the Grapevine, I think.
The Grapevine,
and,
I remember that.
We created a username to get on there and read what the fans were saying about us because we were all taking a visit over to Athens. So
that's amazing.
I think our username was like Ingpolis or something like that.
Who's this?
So, yeah.
By the way, Russ, you're getting a lot of support on the ham better than turkey train.
Ham is better than turkey. A buddy of mine, Doug McFarland, I'll give him credit. He just texted me. He said, here's the deal. Ham is from a pig. Bacon is from a pig. Bacon is excellent. Turkey bacon is a joke. Case closed.
Brent Rollins tweets in. He says he concurs with you.
Yeah.
Andrew from LaGrange says ham's better than turkey, and so does at Fear the Shaco on Twitter says ham is better. I can't decide.
Not that I dislike. We dislike ham.
I like them both.
Yeah.
I mean, if I have both for Thanksgiving, I may need a little bit of both. I don't
We're
like one.
We're drawing the line in the sand. Turkey.
We got about 20 seconds. All right. Huh? Dog's got to take care of business tomorrow.
Yeah, man.
Bounce back Saturday.
Set me up for my ham next week.
Yeah. You know?
Take care of business, man. Get back to what you do. Don't make mistakes. Dominate the line of scrimmage. Win the turnover battle. Win the game. Get ready to beat the brakes off of Tech.
Easy enough. Is it in 5 seconds, is it tough on the seniors because they know it's their last game?
No, they'll be fired up.
Okay.
There'll be a lot of focus coming out of that crew.
Awesome. 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 Thanks, Russ. Appreciate that.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.